We know that actually in this world, when we're so busy, when there's so many competing demands on our time, that actually worry and anxiety is a part of everyday life. And so what's Paul's secret? How does he manage to not be anxious about anything? We might say, well, Paul, you didn't live in our time. You didn't live in our time when this is so busy. You don't know what I'm going through right now. But in the context of Paul's life, his statement's even more phenomenal. So in the second letter to the Corinthians, Paul says, and I'm just going to read an extract of this to give us a bit of context in terms of what he's saying. 5 times I received from the Jews 40 lashes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was pelted with stones. 3 times I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and day in open sea. I've been constantly on the move. I've been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my fellow Jews, in danger from the Gentiles, in danger from the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, in danger from false believers, etc., etc. And I think that puts it in context for me, because I can say that I haven't had most of those things. And yet Paul says, do not be anxious about anything. What is his secret? Well, he doesn't let us leave us high and dry. He does actually tell us what we should do. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, with prayer and petition and thanksgiving, present our requests to God. So, but what Paul is saying is that by praying to God, this can lift our anxiety and put us in a place of peace. Why is prayer so powerful? Because what it does is opens up our hearts to God and helps us to connect with him. We're connecting with God when we pray. Something happens there. Just to be clear, we're not saying that God comes closer to us, because God is always close to us. He's always there with us, always faithful, always forgiving, full of patience. But he has given us free will. And that free will means not only when we choose to become a Christian, we've got a free choice as to whether to follow Jesus, but also how much we want to be with him in friendship. God wants to be our friends, but he won't force that friendship on us. But if we do want to search him out and get to know him better, he promises that he will be found. And for me, there's some real great reassurance in that. Let me read to you Jeremiah 29, verses 12 to 14. The Lord says, then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you. He doesn't say I might be found. He says I will be found. If you seek me with all your heart, you will find me. And I think that's something we can draw great encouragement from today, wherever we are. Prayer is essentially a heartfelt, honest conversation with God. We talk, he listens. We speak, he speaks, we listen. That's essentially what it is when we break it down. And when we pray, when we're having that conversation with God, he rubs off on us. His light shines more brightly in our lives and he starts to change us. I guess it's like any other relationship. The more you spend time with someone, the more their characteristics and attributes will rub off on you. And that also happens when we pray with God. 2 key questions then to look at for the remainder of our time together. First of all, who are we praying to? Who is God and what is his character? And secondly, how should we pray? And this is from the motto text, so I'll be referring to parts of that. So the first, who is God? Well, that's important, isn't it? Because then it helps us to pray to God in the right frame of mind. We need to know who we're talking to. And it does sound obvious, but sometimes we need reminding as to who God is. And really, I've got 2 points here. First of all, he's our creator God. And second of all, he's our daddy God. Creator God, then. God's created the whole world and everything in it. There's nothing that's out of his control. There's nothing that God can't handle. And so when we pray, our prayers are going to the right place. And we can feel confident in that. There's no one who's more holy. There's no one worthy except God. And his heart is unblemished. There are no sides to God, no hidden agendas. He's not going to take things wrong. He'll take things at face value, knowing us and where they come from. And that leads me on to my second point, that he's also Daddy God. John 1, you'll know this famous verses 12 to 13. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not out of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. I think sometimes when we hear these words, we think, yeah, that's lovely. But actually, we need to reflect on what that means for us and really think about that. God's done everything necessary for us to approach God the way a child approaches his or her daddy. There's no set etiquette or formality. We can come just as we are. God knows where we are. His door is open. We don't need to be wordy for the sake of being wordy. We can have few words. We can have no words. God says, come as you are. Max Lusardo says in his book Before Amen that God is low on fancy and high on accessibility. He's low on fancy. He doesn't want words for the sake of it or pretense. He wants to know your heartfelt conversation to him. And we can be real and honest with him, knowing that he created us, and he knows our thoughts before we even say them ourselves, we even think them ourselves. We can be real with him, and he can handle it. I think you can learn a lot from a child in the way that they approach their parents, and it's something that I've been reflecting on recently. You probably know that I've just gone back to work after being on maternity leave for 9 months, and I started a couple of weeks ago. And over that time, we've been getting Isabella ready for nursery and getting her used to that. But really, these last 2 weeks have been quite intense for her as she gets used to the different regime. So Grandma and Grand have a day, there's a couple of days in nursery, and then Chris and I have a day for her as well. And what I love about her, I'm just so proud of her actually, the way she's coped with that. She wakes up in the morning, she honestly doesn't know what she's going to do for the day because she's not in that routine yet, she doesn't know. But she trusts us implicitly. And she just knows that we're there to love her and care for her, and no matter what her day holds, she knows that we're there for her. That's audacious trust. It's trust. Even though there might be ups and downs in her day, even though she might not know what she's doing, she holds on to that trust in us. And we need to do that for God as well. God loves it when we trust him. Trust him implicitly. It doesn't matter if we're having a difficult time or a good time, but let's just trust Jesus. He loves it when we trust him. And there's no one else to trust. No one can compare. So Creator God and Daddy God, I think sometimes we can forget one or the other. Perhaps we focus on God the Creator and we hold him at a distance and we don't allow him in and we don't have that close connection with him on a regular basis. Or perhaps we can focus on Daddy God so much that God has lost his immensity, that we've forgotten who he is. And actually, in our minds, what we've done is sought to contain him. We need to remember the two. And when we approach God, we need to know who we're approaching. So who is God to you? Do you approach him as a child, trusting, curious, joyful, knowing that you're loved? And do you remember that he's God above all things? Secondly, then, how do we pray? Just keeping a little eye on the time, because I was known for overrunning last time. First of all, the motto text says we pray about everything. God does not give us a list of prayers that are acceptable to him. We must only pray about these things. God says pray about everything. And he's interested in the small things in our lives as well as the big things. And so we can bring to God our everyday. My life's pretty busy, like most people's. And so it's really important for me to involve God in the everyday. If I didn't do that, I'd have so little time with God. Maybe I'm sitting down for breakfast, or driving to work, or looking after Isabella. But by praying in my head as I go through the day, by involving God in everything, it means that he's involved in my day, and he gives me that peace I need, that help I need to go through it, and that companionship as well. But I've also found that setting apart a time with God is really important too. As that song says, in the still quiet place, I can hear your voice. I paraphrase, I can't remember the exact words, but it's so true. Sometimes in those quiet moments, it's then that we receive what God is saying to us. I wonder how many times when we've missed that still time with God, we've missed what he's wanting to say to us. Because sometimes God talks in a whisper and it's hard to hear him above the din of everyday life. And if Jesus regularly went to get space to be with God, then how much more do we need to do so? The second point to briefly mention from the motto text in terms of how to pray, Paul says God calls us to be thankful. And I know Sam touched upon this actually last week, but it's good to repeat things. Actually, this can be quite hard at times because our society always wants us to want more. It might be more material possessions, it might be more products, more gadgets, security, more friends. But actually, we'll always want more. And by always looking at what you haven't got, you look to the future rather than the present. And we miss out on enjoying the present for what it is. And it can also impact our relationship with God. Imagine if in the Garden of Eden, when Eve was offered the fruit from the tree of knowledge, instead of thinking about what she hadn't got, that one fruit, she thought about all of those different fruits and amazing things that she had free access to. So maybe the original sin was actually ingratitude, which led to that fruit being eaten. Let's be thankful about everything because we've got so much to be thankful for in our lives. And what happens when we pray to God? The peace of God that transcends all understanding will guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. God is the Prince of Peace, and so an encounter with him often brings peace with it. From time to time, we pray for people, particularly when we're doing some street work, and we might pray for healing or something else. And God might not heal that person then and there on the street, but often we ask, have you felt anything when we were praying for you? And often they say, I felt a real sense of peace. And that's because for that moment, while we've been praying with that person, they may or may not be a Christian, but when we've been praying for them, for that moment, they're allowing God into their lives. And with God comes his peace because he's the Prince of Peace. In my experience, that peace is discernible and distinctive and it's deep. And it makes you feel that you're being held by God no matter what life throws at you. And it's the wonder of being held by God in that place that outstrips our worries and concerns. You probably know that my job, I'm a partner, I'm a lawyer in a law firm, and what I do is actually help to buy and sell companies. That can be pretty stressful at times. It involves lots of hours, lots of money changing hands, lots of documents. And one of the key attributes of a partner in that circumstance is to be unflappable. And I think I'm known for being unflappable. Quite often, though, it's a bit like a swan, you know, you see them very graceful over the top, leading the way, and underneath their legs are going like crazy. And sometimes I think that in that position, you sort of kind of calm on top, but underneath you're stressed and you're worried and you're anxious because you're trying to get a transaction through. But actually with God, he gives me peace inside as well as outside. And so what I reflect outside is genuine peace. He gives me that peace. And he can give all of us that peace. No matter what we're facing, where we are, that peace transcends all understanding, all logic. It's God's peace. I know at times also when I've been praying regularly, because suddenly a wave of peace might come across over me without me thinking. And at that time, I realise I'm about to have an anxious thought. And what God's done is he's gone ahead of me and he's cushioned that anxious thought. That's because the opposite is true as well. When we don't pray, it's so easy to be anxious. Do you need more of that peace today? Do you need more of God's peace? What are you facing today where God can take that burden from you and give you his peace? It's not to say that you won't have to face that or go through whatever you're going through, but God can help you, he can carry you through it, and he can give you that peace so that you can feel it and know that he's beside you. And so drawing this to a conclusion then, maybe if you are facing something which is causing anxiety for you at the moment, God's saying to put that at the foot of the cross, to leave it with him, and so that he can replace that burden with his peace. For some of us, that might be too difficult. We can't just suddenly give up what we've been worried about, maybe for some time, and just leave it with God at the foot of the cross. It's going to take more than just a quick placing. And that's okay. Let's pray to God about that. Let's start that process off. God, I want to give this to you. Please help me to do it. Please help me to find the strength at the right time. Perhaps for others of God, we've forgotten to be like a child. We've kept God at a distance, and he wants to know us to know that we can come just as we are, and we can trust him completely. God loves it when we trust him completely. What do we need to trust God on today that we've held back from him? And finally, perhaps for others, if we're honest, we've not been praying as much. Perhaps life is good. And so somewhere along the lines, as life has moved on, we've lost that connection to God because we haven't been praying. Maybe at the start of this new year, be a good time to start getting back into connection with God and letting more of him into our lives through prayer. Let us pray together. Father, we thank you so much that you're both Creator God and Daddy God. We thank you that there's nothing beyond your control. There's nothing that takes precedence over you, and yet you've done everything you can for us to come into your presence as much or as often as we want. Thank you, Lord, for that. We pray that as we go into this week and into this year, Father, that you'll become, that we'll get closer to you by praying more and by lifting our burdens to you. And we pray this in your name. Amen.